Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Monday, April 7th, 2014. We'll begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Alford, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance led by Commissioner Weaver. If you'll rise, please.
Would you please bow your heads? Lord, we come before you asking your divine wisdom one more time. Not just us, each and every elected official in Jefferson County. We ask that you guide their families, guide the employees that work for the county government. Most important, guide those loved ones that have loved ones away fighting this war for us. Protect their families and them. This we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we're going to go a little bit out of order today. We're going to begin under Commissioner's Court with items B, C, and D. Item B is to consider and possibly approve a proclamation for Youth Service Days. Item C is to consider and possibly approve a proclamation for Child Abuse Prevention Month. And item D is to consider and possibly approve a proclamation for Crime Victims' Rights Week. Do I have a motion on those issues?
So moved. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. And I believe we have here today on behalf of Child Abuse Prevention Month, Ms. Jennifer Vincent and Ms. Sherry Pulliam. Would y'all like to come up? Commissioner Weaver is going to read a proclamation, then we'll ask for some comments.
Judge, Commissioners, audience, it's my honor to read this proclamation. I'd just like to publicly thank y'all for the work that you do to protect our children out there. National Child Abuse Prevention Month. Whereas there were 229,138 cases of child abuse and neglect reported in Texas in the fiscal year of 2013, with 66,398 Texas children confirmed victims of child abuse and neglect in the fiscal year of 2013, with 537 of those children residing in Jefferson County. Whereas child abuse prevention is a community responsibility and finding solutions depends on involvement among all people. And whereas communities must make every effort to promote programs that benefit children and their families. Whereas effective child abuse prevention programs succeed because of partnerships among agencies, schools, religious organizations, law enforcement agencies, and the business community. And whereas everyone in the community should become more aware of child abuse prevention and consider helping parents raise their children in a safe, nurturing environment. Now, therefore, the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County does hereby proclaim the month of April 2014 to be Child Abuse Prevention Month in Jefferson County, and we urge all citizens to work together to help reduce child abuse and neglect significantly in years to come.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you recognizing this month. It's very important to our community and, of course, to all of our caseworkers here. First of all, I'd like everybody that works with us to please stand up and let's give them a big round of applause. These are the people on the front line that do the job of protecting children every single day. In the United States of America, every child should have every chance at happiness and every chance at success. Yet tragically, hundreds of thousands of young American children shoulder the burden of abuse and neglect. As a community, we can do much better. During National Child Abuse Prevention Month, we strengthen our resolve to give every young person the security, the opportunity, and the bright future that they all deserve. We all have a role to play in preventing child abuse and neglect and helping these young victims recover. From parents and guardians to educators and community leaders, each of us can carve out safe places for young people to build their confidence and pursue their dreams. Raising a healthy next generation is both a moral obligation and a national imperative. Our community thrives when we recognize that we all have a stake in this. This month and throughout the year, let us come together as families, as a community, and as Americans, to ensure every child can pursue their dreams in a safe and loving home. Join Child Protective Services and the many other child advocates you see here today for Go Blue Day, which is Wednesday, April 9th at noon at the Pavilion in front of the Fire Museum. We'll be holding a press conference, then walking down Main Street to bring awareness to the cause. There's no excuse for child abuse. We encourage you all to wear blue on this day and spread the word that our community will not accept it anymore. Thank you very much.
Next, I'd like to invite Mr. Roy to the podium. Commissioners have already passed the Youth Day's proclamation, and Commissioner Senegal will read this, and then we'll ask for your comments, Mr. Roy.
Global Youth Service Days. Okay, sorry about that. Whereas Global Youth Service Day is an annual campaign that celebrates and mobilizes millions of children and youth in the interest of improving their communities each day of the year through service and service learning, while increasing civic engagement, academic motivation and achievement, and workforce readiness. And whereas Global Youth Service Day, the largest service event in the world, is being observed and celebrated globally on its 26th anniversary over 100 countries, and whereas high quality service programs like IEA inspire, encourage, and achieve provide opportunities for youth to be active citizens and community leaders, and for schools, communities, organizations, and government agencies, businesses, and families to engage youth as problem solvers. And whereas the Edward M. Kennedy Serve America Act recognizes Global Youth Service Day as a national day of service and calls on the citizens of the United States to participate, and whereas Youth Service America, IEA, Inspire, Encourage, Achieve, and the Jefferson County Juvenile Probation Department are mobilizing citizens to serve their communities on Global Youth Service Day. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioners of Jefferson County does hereby proclaim April 11th through the 13th, 2014, to be Global Youth Service Day in Jefferson County, and we encourage all citizens to serve their communities. West commissioners and judges, and judge, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Commissioners, I'm gonna be very brief. I just wanna thank you all for your support of the IEA program and also for the good works that this organization does. As you know, we have our executive director, Angelica Avery here, as well as Chief Ed Cockrell here as well, help support us. And of course, we have our founder, Regina Rogers, hiding away somewhere back here. And we really wanna thank you guys for your support. And I certainly accept this proclamation with the highest of gratitude for your support. My comment's gonna be brief. I wanna give Angelica a chance to say something here about IEA. And then also, if Ed Cockrell wishes to say a few words, I'd like to open the mic for them as well.
Thank you very much. I too want to thank the Commissioner's Court for supporting this project. This is a great way for our kids to give back to the community, a great way for them to educate themselves on what the services have done for us. Our project is pertaining to the veterans, and just giving them a way to learn a little bit more about what these veterans have done for not only Jefferson County and Texas and for the United States, but it's just showing them that they can give back, and this is a positive program. So thank you very much.
Thanks again for your support of IEA, and we are just so pleased with the support that we've received for this project from American Legion, from Jefferson County Veteran Services here in the courthouse, which will actually be our host site. We are expecting as many veterans as possible to come out. We've targeted audience with the VA clinic. We are sending information out to all Jefferson County employees. But this service learning opportunity has also helped strengthen the character of the young people that we serve. They have put together a calendar to honor veterans that will also be given out on that day. And each month has a character quality that's highlighted. And in learning about these character qualities and also sitting with a panel of over 10 veterans, they've had an opportunity to really respect and admire the service of so many people that sacrificed their lives on behalf of their freedoms. So we ask that you join us on April the 11th here in the courthouse and look forward to your participation.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. As you know, the youth with whom we work are involved in the juvenile justice system. They are often cast aside. They are often told that they have no worth, no value. They've made mistakes. They're unloved. They're unwanted. And what we try to do is convey compassion, understanding, love, and teach them right from wrong. With the help of our judges who are here, and I see Judge Shelton and Judge Thorne, and a wonderful staff, and your support, we are able to turn their lives around. And this particular project teaches them the importance of empathy and understanding that there are people that really, really have given up their lives for our country, and that we need to convey our gratitude from the depths of our hearts. And this has taught them an unbelievable amount of empathy and love and compassion for others, which we think is very beneficial in turning their lives around as well. So on behalf of all of us associated with IEA, Inspire, Encourage, Achieve, we convey our love, our appreciation from the bottom of our hearts for your involvement and support. Thank you so much.
And lastly, Ms. Craver, if you'll come up, we have a proclamation for National Crime Victims Rights Week. It reads, whereas Americans are victims of more than 22 million crimes each year, and these crimes also affect family members, friends, neighbors, and coworkers. Whereas crime can leave a lasting physical, emotional, or financial impact on people of all ages and abilities and of all economic, racial, and social backgrounds. Whereas in addition to these challenges, crime victims face criminal, military, and juvenile justice systems that at times ignore their rights and treat them with disrespect. And whereas the victim assistance community faces new challenges to reach and serve all victims, including victims who have not always trusted the criminal justice system. Whereas now is the time to embrace a new emphasis on learning what works and reaching underserved victims and meeting victims' needs. And whereas National Crime Victims Rights Week is the April 6th through 12th of 2014 and provides an opportunity to celebrate the energy, creativity, and commitment that launched the victims' rights movement, inspired its progress, and continues to advance the cause of justice for crime victims. Whereas Jefferson County is joining forces with victim service providers, criminal justice agencies, and concerned citizens throughout Jefferson County, Texas, and America to raise awareness of victims' rights and observe National Crime Victims Rights Week. Therefore, be it resolved that the Jefferson County Commissioners Court does hereby proclaim the week of April 6th through 12th as National Crime Victims Rights Week in Jefferson County, and we encourage all citizens to respect and enforce victim rights and needs during this time and throughout the year. Ms. Craven.
Thanks, Judge. I think there's a line in there. I think it says energy, creativity, and commitment. I think there's a lot of energy and creativity and commitment in this room for sure. I am Misty Craver. I'm the program director for the Jefferson County Victims Assistance Center, here representing the Coalition for Victims of Crime. And a number of the people in this room are members of that coalition or agency representatives everywhere from CASA, the Department of Protective and Family Services, Crisis Center, Buckner. I won't make everybody stand up again, but that's what this is about. That's what National Crime Victims Rights Week is about, pooling together all of these resources, these amazing resources in our Jefferson County community, and not just working to ensure that victims of crime benefit from those services, but also ensuring that they know that those services exist. And that's what part of our goal is for this week. We do have our 24th annual Crime Victims Candlelight Vigil that's set for Thursday night at 6 o'clock right here downstairs in the jury and paneling room at the courthouse here. And making sure not only, like I said, that they know that those services are available, but also ensuring that, you know, they get the remembrance activities and things like that that they need as victims of crime, that they know that they're important in our community. So anyway, I really appreciate y'all acknowledging this. I appreciate everybody in this room for their hard work. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. I'd like to turn to item A under the agenda, which is to invite Chief Billingsley, Walter Billingsley, to come up to the podium and give us kind of an update on our radio interoperability program in Southeast Texas. Thank all of you for being here today, and thank you for all the work you do for the benefit of the community. We appreciate you.
No,
that's right. That's right.
You used me to clear the room. Thank you, Judge. I did take a shower before we came up here, but I think I cleared the room for you. What a welcome. I've provided...
Wait just 1 second, Chief. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Roy.
I don't know if this is old home week or a bad penny showing back up, but I appreciate the opportunity to speak before you today. And this is not an action item. This is just an awareness for the court and the other public safety officials that let you know a little more about what you may have heard about that's coming on. And basically, a brief history, you know, every public safety agency now nationwide uses broadband service through either internet air cards in the cars and the police cars, the fire trucks, and all of the emergency managers use it to keep up with things. As y'all know, back whenever Hurricane Rita hit us, one of the first things that we lost was to be able to communicate via our mobile phones, because the landlines, a lot of those went down, and then the mobile phones went down. And what has happened now is that in recognition of those kind of things, we're not the only ones that's affected like that. The Congress in 2012 set aside $7 billion and set up a group of subject matter experts to develop a nationwide public safety broadband service, and it's only for public safety. Public safety, as it stands right now, has to compete with the private citizens out there for the use of that broadband network, like Verizon, AT&T, whomever private service that you're using. And as a result, that's why you get busies whenever like during the evacuation, everybody was on the phone, everybody's using their iPads and things of that nature. And the use of that by the public has tripled in the last couple of years. And so what's happened is that the FCC set aside some special frequencies for this purpose. Congress has set aside some money and developed a group of individuals, they've called them FirstNet, and tasked them with developing a nationwide public safety broadband strictly for public safety entities. And they've tasked them with developing the infrastructure for it, the agencies, all the governmental agencies across the nation, are not going to have to pay anything for the infrastructure. It'll be developed nationwide in every state, and every state has been tasked with putting together a outreach program, which is what we're part of. This is the first thing to do here now, is let everybody know about it, and because we're going to have some input into how it is developed, and through our state coordinator out of the governor's office, letting them know what Texas needs, what our region needs, and what the benefits need to be addressed for our regions. The advantage of it is it'll be faster, and it'll only be public safety on it. There's going to be backups in it, just like it is with our radio system, that there's backups for generators and things of that nature, which we don't have always on the private sector. And we have no control over that. There's no way for it to be carved out just for public safety to have a priority on it. And I'm not talking about just law enforcement. We're talking about EMS, fire, hospitals, the road and bridge districts and all that have access to this to the point of being able to get real-time information, diagrams of buildings and everything else, whatever needs to be transmitted during an emergency. They've also been tasked with making the cost to the agency should you decide to join in it, comparable to what you're paying for now through the private sector. We did have scheduled a larger meeting with the entire region of Jefferson, Hardin, and Orange County for May the 1st. That meeting has had to be moved back to June the 18th at 9 a.m. At the Regional Planning Commission. We'll see that you each get a backup notice about it. That's also the day that the Regional Planning Commission is holding their executive board meeting, which some of you usually attend that, so you may be there or at it's right before that board meeting. And what it's about is to bring everybody together to make you aware of what's going on. There's going to be a committee developed for our region to explain and document what our region needs, fuel it through the state to the national organization to get it done. There has been no requirement that public safety would have to go on it. It's just an option that that everybody can consider at the time. You would no longer use the private sector air cards. There would be one that would connect you to the national broadband network. I saw it myself. It was critical during Hurricane Rita and Ike as well. It got a little better during Ike because the private sector had come out and put some backup generators on some of the towers. But this is nothing that replaces our radio system by any means. This is the data transfer that we would need to use and everybody's relying more on nowadays. Didn't see Paul from MIS here. I've got a packet for him to get to him, so he'll be sure. I know the city of Beaumont and other IT directors for the entities are going to be involved in helping provide information in the development of this. Interoperability is now not just radio, but it's also data for public safety as well. But this is like your emails back and forth, your receipt of the broadcast of the weather service and all that sort of stuff. A lot of times you can receive it via your laptop in the field, or you can meet here and receive it here as well too. So it'll help you not be tied down so much to being where not being where you need to be. And it sounds like a pretty good program. I don't know. I know that the federal government is building it out with no cost to the government entities and the option to join it. I do know at this point in time there's no regulation whatsoever to, join it. The thing that we're looking at locally here is, and being involved with budget with y'all before, as my mindset as well too, my first question was, how much is it going to cost? Because we want to be able to make sure that it's something that, should we decide to switch, that it's cost effective for us.
Chief,
no. It's the only thing that it would change now is if you go like the county uses Verizon now. The only thing you have to do is buy the air card that plugs into the computer that matches up with the frequency of that system. The same thing you have to do for the private sector, you have to do for this one. It'll match up with the frequencies. It's on 700 megahertz is where it's at, which is a higher band than what the it's not a higher band, but it's similar to what the Verizon and AT&T's. And
when will this be ready? Because I'm looking through to see a date of
It's in its infancy right now. What Congress has tasked FirstNet to do is to get input from public safety entities in all of the continental United States, from each one of the states. And each state has a coordinator that's been assigned by their governor's office. Ours is the statewide interoperability coordinator assigned by the governor to task their regions to develop what is needed to be done, and it's going to be developed out. The only one that is currently operating right now that's actually under this umbrella was actually started before Congress put any funding together for it is right over there in Houston in Harris County. And it's actually a test case, and it's been approved through the network and all of that, and it will be a part of it as well too when all this comes to pass. I know each one of y'all got that sent by email to you, but I brought you a handout so it's easier to look at and
you will be working with the regional planning or
yes,
whoever?
Sir. Yes, sir. I'm still currently elected by the region of your representatives that attend the Regional Planning Commission meeting as the interoperability coordinator for Jefferson, Hardin, and Orange County. I attend a lot of the meetings, or most of the meetings here. I go to Austin and also represent the region along with other representatives on what the needs for our region here of the three-county region as far as interoperability for radio, and now it's expanded into data as well. But, we welcome you. This is basically just an awareness, an outreach type visit with you to let you know of this is coming, and it's going to be years down the road before it finally comes to complete fruition. But now's the groundwork time whenever we can have a say so in how it's built out that it meets the needs of our region. And to learn more about it and all of that, we'd welcome you to come on June the 18th to the Planning Commission meeting. It's only take about an hour and a half of your time. The committee from Austin will be here, several representatives from Austin will be there and have more information there. Hopefully we can get questions that we have answered and questions you have answered at that point in time. So appreciate your time and enjoy the opportunity to clear the room for you. Thank you very much.
Negotiations for inmate telephone service for Jefferson County. Item B is consider and possibly approve, execute, receive, and file a renewal for a term contract for insecticides, herbicides, spray adjuvants, and adulticides for Jefferson County Mosquito Control District with Adaptco Inc., Alligator LLC, Crop Production Service Inc., and Target Specialty Products for a second additional 1-year renewal from April 21st, 2014 to April 20th, 2015. With proposed price increases for Adaptco being shown on attachment A to the agenda. Item C is to rescind the award of the term contract for insecticides, herbicides, spray adjuvants, and adulticides for Jefferson County Mosquito Control District, line item 1 from Winfield Solutions LLC, and reaward to Crop Production Service Inc. in the amount of $22.50 per item, line item 1. Item D is considering possibly approve change order number 2 for the Keith Lake Park Boat Ramp with Shirley & Sons Construction Company, Inc. for an increase of $43,460.16 for increased mobilization and vinyl sheet piling, bringing the total contract to $2,314,375.24 with the days of completion remaining the same. Do I have a motion on those items under purchasing? Been moved by Commissioner Senegal and seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Is there any discussion? Weaver, excuse me. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under County Airport, item A is considering possibly authorize the county judge to execute a lease contract with Nederland Chevrolet LLP for the property located at 1451 U.S. Highway 69 in Nederland, Texas. Do I have a motion on that item? Moved by Commissioner Weaver, seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Is there any discussion on that item? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under County Auditor, we have regular county bills, check numbers 392130 through 392384. Motion?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal and seconded by Commissioner Alford. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Clerk, been requested to table item A via addendum item B. It's considering possibly approve and authorize county judge to execute a lease agreement with the city of China for lease of voting equipment for the city's May 10th, 2014 election. Do I have a motion on that item? Moved by Commissioner Alford and seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under county commissioners, we've covered items A through D. Item E is considering possibly approve Jefferson County Tourism Committee Spring 2014 Hotel Occupancy Tax Allocation Recommendation as shown on attachment A. Item F is consider authorizing county judge to execute, receive, and file a lease between Jefferson County and Nature's Federal Credit Union for property located at 1245 Pearl Street in Beaumont. Item G is consider authorizing county judge to execute on April 15th. That's a change to what's printed in the agenda. It says April 10th. But the item is, as corrected, will be consider authorizing the county judge to execute on April 15th, 2014, a request for release of funds for Community Development Block Grant Disaster Recovery Program funds for the McFadden National Wildlife Refuge Beach Ridge Restoration Project. Do I have a motion on those items under commissioners?
So moved.
Second. Moved by Commissioner Senegal and seconded by Commissioner Alford. Is there any discussion?
Kathy, would you come up to the mic, please? On the item number eight, the baseball academy thing, I noticed that they just have the hotels down there. Have y'all put together a way to know how many teams are coming in, how many teams or people are staying in hotels in our area?
Yes, sir. We're doing the best we can. Majority of the groups that come in have host hotels, and so we're able to track the room nights that way. The ball teams, they're going to be, as most of us do if we have kids and we're traveling a lot, we try to get the best rates. So some of them may have award programs, so they may go to the larger properties or, you know, depending on what they choose. So there's a form that when the team comes in to pick up their packet, the team mom or the coach, whoever it is, comes in and they tell us how many rooms they'll be using and how many, you know, and then we know that where that team is staying.
So basically you know where members of those teams are staying around
Correct.
Our county.
So instead of going by rooms with those teams, we do number of teams. So it will fluctuate some, because with the convention, you can do per room night. So and that seems to be the best way to track it. And so after the tournament happens, they turn in a stack of sheets. And we put them in a spreadsheet form, so we have those anytime you'd like them. And,
okay.
You know, we started doing that several years ago, and majority of them, we do have a couple that, because of the grant that they apply for, they don't normally give us their sheet. You know, they don't fill out the sheets, but they usually have a huge room block. So,
Dean, I have you here, so I had another question on these trade shows. Are you guys participating in that process? Because as I read through, I didn't notice that the only one was given funding to that was coming out of high tax funds from Jefferson County. Are the other cities or everybody else participating in that with financial?
Yeah, pretty much so. Most of those shows are consumer shows.
Okay.
So it's very expensive. Let's say I have one tourism person, and if we can't get some help from Kathy's group, you know, that person's going to be working, you know, 14 days in a row, you know, 10-15 hour days.
Okay.
So we try to mix it up. We try to get the most help we can. So all the city, all the county's represented very well.
Okay, then.
Thank you.
Thanks, Judge. I just wanted to make sure that we got a little update from them on those things.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under county treasurer, item A is receive and file the investment schedule for March 2014. Including the year-to-date total earnings on county funds. Do I have a motion on that item?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under risk management, we have one item. Consider and possibly approve storage tank liability insurance renewal with Ace American Insurance Company effective April 6, 2014, at an annual premium of $4,505, which is a 6% decrease from last year's premium. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Second. And moved by Commissioner Senegal and seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. And lastly, via addendum, under Constable Precinct 8, I may is consider and possibly approve the hiring of Peter Bun Tang as Deputy Constable with Constable Precinct 8 in accordance with Local Government Code Section 86.011. Do I have a motion on that item?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. And that completes our regular agenda. Is there anything that anyone would like to bring to the attention of the public without our taking action?
Yes, Judge. Back on October the 21st, the court, Judge, you and the court, we dedicated the sub-courthouse park to Mr. Martin J. Popeye Holmes. And we're going to have the park dedication this Saturday from 10 to 12. That's a short ceremony, maybe about 45 minutes, hot dogs, cakes. What we're going to do, my guys have placed the name on the park, and it'll be a nice ceremony for everyone that can turn out. I think Chef Wood, you're going to speak, and a couple of other people are going to speak, and I'll read the proclamation. And if Judge is there, I'll allow Judge. You can read it, Judge. But I appreciate it if everyone comes out. I tried to get it on a weekday, but she preferred to have it on a Saturday. So we're going to, Ms. Holmes' wishes is our wish also. Thank you.
Thank you. One thing I want to correct is something that I miscommunicated a couple weeks ago. I'd gotten conflicting information. My original information I received was that in a special election for state senator that's going to be taking place here in Southeast Texas, that everyone except those who had voted in the Democratic primary were eligible to vote. Had another conversation where I received conflicting information, then talked to Ms. Guidry immediately before the meeting today, and now understand that everyone who is a registered voter within that senatorial district, regardless of whether or not they voted in the primary, is going to be eligible to vote in that special election. So I wanted to correct that in case anyone heard me on television and got the inappropriate information. I apologize for that.
And also, Judge, thank you, Ms. Guidry. I want to make sure that we understand, regardless of what party, there are certain people that's going to benefit Jefferson County that's running in that race. So we need to do our homework and make sure we vote for that person. Thank you.
All right, anything further?
Judge, Commissioners, just as an informational item, it's my understanding that purchasing has finished the inventory of the property that was remaining out at the old TYC facility, and also maintenance has done their review of the infrastructure out there. So I'll be asking for a workshop next week for the court to receive that information, and so that we can move forward and have all that accounted for.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. All right. Anything further? All right. We are adjourned. Thank you. Mm-hmm.